I'm going to ask that you pray for me. I spoke once. I've been feeling cold all day, and I feel it right here. Anybody have that feeling before? I'm trying to fight it off right now. I think I got it from the person who raised their hand in the back, but I love him. But I love him. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Love your enemies. Amen. Amen. I love you, Brother Tony. I love you. If you had a wonderful Sabbath, raise your hand. I won't keep you here long. Immediately after, there are going to be refreshments afterwards. I better announce this now because I quickly forget. There's going to be refreshments immediately after, correct, brother? 6:30 to 7. So that means immediately after we're done, if you don't get there in time, probation closes. You must knock at the door of the ark. You will not be let in. I have to say that. I was not told it, but it fits. The sanctuary. If you're taking notes, I'm going to go very slow so that you can take notes. And I'm going to ask that you do take notes. And if you're like me, I like to write on the side of my Bible. Anybody else like to do that? All right. Reading from Great Controversy, 488. Great Controversy, 488. I was not here last week, but I'm pretty sure that you may hear some things tonight that you heard last week. One of the issues me and my brother Gomez has is that we rarely have time to get together, but when we do get together, we're on the same page, praise the Lord. Great Controversy 488. And it says, all need a knowledge for themselves of the position and work of the great high priest. Otherwise, it will be impossible. What does the word impossible mean? Can't happen. Can't happen. So that means your ears should perk up, correct? It would be impossible for them to exercise the faith, which is essential at this time. The key word there is it's impossible to exercise the what? Everyone, it's impossible to exercise the faith if you didn't get that. Is faith important? Yes. Finish it. Without faith, it is impossible. So you need faith, amen? Amen? It says, or to occupy the position which God designs them to fulfill. Or to occupy the position for with which God designs them to fulfill. Do you know that a lot of people would understand what ministry God has for them if they understood the sanctuary? You'll understand why, as we go step by step, why it is Satan's greatest desire that we do not know or understand the sanctuary. Because in knowing and understanding the sanctuary and the working of it, in Christ's ministration in the sanctuary, you will know where your place is in this work. That is the importance of these studies. Amen? It says, every individual has a soul to save or to lose. Each has a case pending at the bar of God. Each must meet the great judge face to face. How important, then, that every mind contemplate often the solemn scene when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened. When with Daniel, every individual may stand in his lot at the end of days. Powerful quotation, end of quotation. And I'm going to pick it up in page 489, okay? Great Controversy 489. The intercession of Christ in man's behalf in the sanctuary above is as essential to the plan of salvation as was his death up on the cross. Those are powerful words, aren't they? Because all of Christendom focuses on the pinnacle of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. Amen? In fact, in all of Protestantism, it is the cross that is the central theme, i.e., it is the central theme for us. But we also understand that with an understanding of the sanctuary, the cross is just the beginning. Amen? It says, By his death he began that work, which after his resurrection he ascended to complete in heaven. We must by faith enter within the veil. We must by what enter into the veil? Now remember the first part of the quote that I read earlier. Great Controversy 488. Without an understanding of the sanctuary, it is impossible to exercise the what? The faith. Let's do this again. Without an understanding of the sanctuary, it is impossible to exercise the faith that is needed for these last days. And we need that faith in order to enter in beyond the veil, amen? So that what that means is that many will be trying in the last days to enter into the veil. But without a correct understanding, those curtains will be too heavy to move. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, faith. Finishing the quotation. It says, by his death he began that work, which after his resurrection he ascended to complete in heaven. We must by faith enter within the veil. Paul says in Hebrews 6:20, write that down, whither the forerunner is for us entered. What does the word forerunner mean? Before. Christ is our example. He is our blueprint. He is our Savior, and we are to follow him. How? By faith. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. It is by faith. Why is this so important? That it is by faith. Let's turn to the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love how the Apostle Paul starts off this chapter. Can I read verse 1 simply because I like verse 1? Is that okay? We're in the house of God, so reading the Bible is not a crime yet. Amen? Amen. Let's read. The Bible says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's a verse that I love. You see, Paul had a one-track mind, Jesus. And it was the love of Christ that constrained him. Now, moving down to the verse that we want, looking at verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually what? Discerned. Why is this so important? You're going to see as we continue on. We like to cut that verse short, and we like to say it this way. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Can we say that together? Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Amen. You with me? I'm not going too fast, am I? All right, because, you know, if I have to exercise, you got to exercise. Here we go. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The sanctuary. In Exodus 16, if you're taking notes, I'll just give you where to find it. Exodus 16, verses 1 through 6. This looks like a studious group. Let's read it. Let's go. Let's see. I got time. All right. Exodus 16, verses 1 through 6. We're going to go step by step. Exodus 16, 1 through 6. And I thank everyone who came up to me and told me their concerns with what they would like to know about the sanctuary and what they did not know, because what a lot of people don't understand is that many people, even within the Adventist church, and I would say many brothers and sisters, still do not understand the sanctuary as it is in Jesus. Exodus 16, verse 1. It says, and they took their journey from Elim, And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after the departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died, by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread to the full. For he hath brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. If I'm Moses, I'm finished. I would have lost my salvation right there. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. It says, And thou shalt go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Miracle number one. From this verse, we understand that God rains bread from heaven. What was the name of that bread? Manna, you're with me. Praise the Lord. The children of Israel have been rescued out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Egypt representing bondage. God saving his people with 10 awesome plagues. Amazing to see. An event that has never been equaled yet until the end of time shall come. And when the people come out after their celebration is over, because you know after your party a lot, you get hungry, don't you? They get hungry, and God says, listen, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. I'm going to lay a smorgasbord in the wilderness, and you're going to eat bread from heaven. Don't worry about the calories that are inside of it, because it's all heavenly calories. This is the bread from heaven, representing who, family? The bread represented Jesus, turning to Exodus chapter 17, starting in verse 8. So in Exodus 16, God gives them manna. Amen. Exodus 17, looking in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let it down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Exodus 16, manna. Exodus 17, God teaches the children of Israel about cooperation. Manna. Cooperation, a mighty victory. Exodus 18, next chapter. Verse 14. Exodus 18, verse 14. You there? Amen? All right, I'm giving everybody time. We just left chapter 17. Chapter 18 is the very next chapter. Amen? Amen. I didn't have to take my shoes off. Here we go. Exodus 14, it says, And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? Moses' father-in-law came to visit him, bringing his wife and children. Grandpa said, You know what? These kids got to go back to their father. And so he brings them back. And as he watches Moses' day go by, he sees that Moses is ever doing the work of God. When someone has a problem, whether big or small, guess who they come to? They come to Moses. And his father-in-law is watching this. Jumping to verse 19. It says, "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, Moses, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear thy burdens with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." Exodus 16, manna. God gives them food. He changes their diet. Exodus 17, God teaches them cooperation. Exodus 18, God begins to implement church organization. Are you staying with me? All right, wake up. Exodus 19, next chapter, starting in verse 3. "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of what? A kingdom of what? A kingdom of priests. And a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Exodus 16, diet change. Exodus 17, cooperation. Exodus 18, church organization. Exodus 19, God's covenant is reminded of. Exodus 20, does it need any explanation? God gives his law in Exodus 20. From Exodus 21 through Exodus 24, God gives the children of Israel judgments and statutes. What they are practical employments for keeping the Ten Commandments, the statutes and judgments. But it's when we jump to Exodus 32 that we have an issue. We understand that the children of Israel, God was doing mighty things in their life, was he not? They were walking with God. As you learned from what I heard last week, they had a pillar of fire and they had a cloud by night, amen? Cloud by day, excuse me. They had the manifestations of God visibly seen. All they had to do was follow the cloud. All they had to do was keep their eyes on the flame. But by the time you get to Exodus 32, let's get there. Let's go there. I see some people wanting to go to it. I see it in your eyes. Exodus 32. Some people are like, what happened in Exodus 32? Exodus chapter 32. Let's get there. Are we there? It says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, Lord have mercy." Now, brothers and sisters, I'm hoping that you guys understand some things already before we begin to go further. Moses is a type of who? Okay, for those who did not know, Moses is a type of Jesus. He's a type of Christ. Now, Moses going up into the mountain is symbolic. When the people lose sight of Moses going up into the mountain, what happens next? You begin to lose your mind because you have lost sight of who? Jesus. You have lost sight of God. Watch this. They could not see Moses physically. How were they supposed to see him? Spiritually, by faith. Do you want to know why so many people lose track of Jesus? Because after they have their devotion in the morning, praise the Lord, and they leave outside, guess what happened? They have taken their eyes off of Jesus. It is easy to forget. You know, when you're in your devotion, you sometimes you feel safe, right? You feel connected with God. But a lot of times when we leave away from that devotion that we're having, that's when Satan says, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. Why? Because it is human nature to not exercise faith. Let's look at this. Let's go to the book of, let's go to Hebrews real fast. Let's go to that faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Are we all there? Amen? All right, give some people some time. Hebrews is it's a tough book to find. Sounds like somebody making coffee. Hebrews. All right, are we there? Chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Do you hope for Jesus? Amen. Amen. It says, the evidence of things what? Is that hard sometimes? Huh? Is that sometimes hard? I don't know about you, but there were times in me and my wife's life where we didn't have rent money for the month. It wasn't nothing in the bank account. But we had to trust and have faith that God would supply it. Family, that's a stretch. That's a faith stretch. It was exercise. Now, if I'm struggling with little things like that, how am I to believe that the Jesus Christ that I can't see is still somewhere up in heaven in a sanctuary that I cannot see doing a work for me? You see, the sanctuary is to be viewed by faith. And the sad reality is one of the problems with Laodicea is that they're, guess what? We're blind. And because we are blind, we have lost sight of Jesus in the sanctuary. And by losing sight of Jesus in the sanctuary, our faith wavers. And when faith begins to waver, we fall back into sin. And when we fall into sin, our love grows cold. Satan understands this concept. You see, we must understand that there is a sanctuary in heaven. I'm going to read a quote to you that many have fought against. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 25. It's a Bible study, right? Exodus 25. We're going to get to our scripture reading. Exodus 25. Stay awake. I'm taking my time on purpose. Exodus 25, verses 1 through 8. Are we there? The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering, and this is the offering which ye shall take of them. The first thing he says is what? Lord, have mercy. What does gold represent? Gold represents faith. Gold. And your homework is you go down the list and you pick out all those words. I'm not going to do it for you. and you look up every last one of them. It's fun. Gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. You see, the children of Israel did not get it. The children of Israel could not see God's love. The children of Israel could not see God's redemptive power. The children of Israel could only see a man, Moses. And we see this happening even in our world, in our society, in our churches today, that it is easy to get connected to a man and not be connected to God. It is easy to listen to the wisdom of men and not have a close encounter with Jesus faithfully by yourself. The reason we are taking our time tonight is because I really want you to see it for yourself in the Word of God. Because I will not be held accountable for people saying, Brother Joseph said, or Brother Gomez said, neither one of us can get you into heaven. But I tell you this much, if we make the wrong turn, it could be detrimental to your salvational health. So guess what? I need you to help me. Amen? Because if I take my eyes off of Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary, there is no rest for the wicked, saith the Lord thy God. And I like my sleep. Brothers and sisters, the children of Israel, though they had all those manifestations, still weren't getting it. They still weren't getting it. And God, like a loving father, sound like my dad. Son, looking at me trying to fix something. What you doing? I got it, Dad. Almost got it. Son, put the tools down and back away. But Dad, almost got it. Back away. Dad says, I'm going to step in and help. Because if I don't step in and help, there's going to be a greater disaster than before. You see, God says, you know what? They're not getting it. Let me come down and walk with him. You see, every day of our life, guess who we have walking with us? Lord, have mercy. But we don't see him, do we? The Holy Spirit is right there. We don't see him physically. Therefore, our faith is stretched to the max. When we go through trials and when we go through tribulations, normal calling is, God, where are you? Why are you allowing me to go through this? God is like, I'm right there. Just look up. I'm right there. I never left you. In fact, I'm interceding for you. Just look up. You know where I'm at. But again, because our faith is so weak, Laodicea, Jesus has to give us a remedy, and he has to tell us, ask for it, please. Ask for the gold. Ask for the eye salve. Ask for the garments. Why? Because we don't know what to ask for. Because we have lost track of Jesus. There are three words that are used interchangeably in the Bible. Those words are sanctuary, tabernacle, and temple. The subject of all three is mentioned 424 times in the Old Testament, 139 times in the New Testament, and 563 total times in the whole Bible. You think God's trying to say something? The portable temple that we're reading about right now was erected under the leadership of Moses, who was a type of Christ. And it was built around 1400 BC. This tabernacle was replaced in the time of Solomon. I didn't see nobody write that down. 1400 BC. All right. It says this tabernacle was replaced in the time of Solomon when the temple was constructed in Jerusalem. So the temple that God had Moses erect was replaced by whose temple? It was replaced by Solomon's temple. For those of you who already know this, just bear with those who don't. Please, because I want them to get it. It was replaced by Solomon's temple, and it was constructed in Jerusalem. This temple was destroyed when Israel was taken captive to Babylon in the days of Daniel and while Jeremiah was prophesying. Turn to Jeremiah 29, please. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 12. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 12. When you're there, please say amen. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 12. Amen? All right, I hope you're taking note. I'm trying to be fair, and I'm slowing down because I've seen how you guys answered those last questions tonight, and Lord have mercy. So we're going to be ready for next week, amen? Or should I say the week after next? Here we go, Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 12. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years, how many years? 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, praise the Lord, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Have you ever heard your parents just before? I don't know about you. Anybody used to get spankings? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I think I might get one by my mom and dad if I go over there too late. Did your parents ever say this is gonna hurt me more than it hurt you? Did you just hear what you read? God says, listen, you're gonna go into captivity for 70 years, but God, I don't want to hear it. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of peace. Peace? 70 years, Lord. You want it 80? 70's fine. 70's fine. Praise the Lord. 7 is a biblical number. He says, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You know, sometimes it's not until we're on our back when we're looking up, amen? Sometimes it's when those storms come and those storms blow and we're trying our best to trudge through. But did you know that many people try to fight through their storms with no faith? They try to fight through on their own strength. We try to conjure up in our own mind ways of how we can get through. And so sometimes God has to allow that storm as we're pushing through to knock us on our knees. And as we're still fighting and pressing on, God has to sometimes allow the winds to be a little bit stronger and we have to fall on our bellies. And as we're crawling, that storm hail starts coming and the hail starts hitting us on the back of the head. And all of a sudden we just roll over on our back and give up and say, look, there you go, Jesus. You were there that whole time. He's like, I've been trying to get you to look up the whole time. Why? Because as long as your focus is in the wrong place, you will continually struggle. But when your focus is on me, Jesus says, I can give peace in the middle of the storm. He said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And this theme of the sanctuary, as we read, is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible because God is wanting us to know, I want you to know my address and I want you to know where I live. And not only that, I'm going to open up my doors. I want you to see how I conduct my house and what I'm doing in there. And I'm preparing a place for you. And in understanding all of this, it brings joy to your heart. I was happy to hear Pastor, I think it was 2 days ago, those of you who missed it, he said that he was wrestling with some things in the Bible, but when he got an understanding of the sanctuary, it cleared everything else up for him. Did that happen to anybody else? Did that happen to anyone else? And the more and more you contemplate the sanctuary, the more and more you focus on the sanctuary, something begins to get magnified. The first thing is Jesus Christ. Because whose house is it? It's his house. You know, growing up in my neighborhood, because we had a big family, as many of you know, my house was the place to be. Five boys, three girls. Whenever it was time to play football on the blacktop, hey, we got to go get the figures, their whole team in and of themselves. And so a lot of times my friends would come over to my house. A lot of them did not have their father. A lot of them grew up in the projects, not the projects, the projects. And a lot of them just grew up in a lot of negativity. So they found great comfort coming over to my house. My father was a pastor. My mama could cook. Lord have mercy, home sweet home. So they would come over. A lot of times they would fall asleep and take naps on the couch or just anywhere they could find a place, because they found comfort at my mom and dad's house, and they found acceptance at my mom and dad's house. Amen. Have you ever been to a house like that? Amen. Where it's like, if you can just get there, it's warm inside. And you know that you have nothing to worry about in there, because you know that house is a good house. Did you know that Jesus Christ wants you to know that his sanctuary is open to each and every one of us? And he has reservations for all of us to meet him in the most holy place. He has whatever we need, whatever we're looking for, he has it. He knows our griefs, he knows our burdens, he knows our hurts, and he knows our pains. He's not afraid of any of it. But he knows that if we can't see him like a child that can't see his parent, we will worry, we will doubt, and as one of your answers was, we will fall off the narrow way. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Since then, there's been no quote-unquote earthly temple. Psalm 77:13 says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Thy way is in the where? The sanctuary. Keep that in mind. Review and Herald, May 25th, 1905. Review and Herald, May 25th, 1905. In the future, deceptions of every kind is to arise. And we want solid ground for our feet. We want solid pillars for the building. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Lord has established. The enemy will bring in false theories, such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Because when you take your eyes off Jesus, you fall automatically back into idolatry. Remember Exodus 32. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Where shall we find safety unless it be in the truths that the Lord has been giving for the last 50 years? In Daniel 8, verse 14, Daniel says, "And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." If there's no sanctuary in heaven, that means the 2,300 days has no relevance. In Hebrews 8, 1 through 3, you can write it down or you can go to it. The Bible says, "Now of the things which have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesties in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. There is a sanctuary in heaven where our loving Savior is interceding for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters. And we must understand that unless we see him by faith, unless we gain an understanding of what he is doing, our salvation hangs in the balance. We are told in the book of Revelations further that the 144,000 follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. But you cannot be a part of that number if you don't know where the Lamb is. And we must understand where he is at this point. There are many people who do not want to be lost. But guess what? To be lost means to not know where Jesus is. But if you know where Jesus is, you can gladly say, I'm not lost. Why? Because I see my Father right there. Where is he at? He's in the most holy place. How do you know? You can't see him. I see him all the time. How? I see him by faith. You see, this wasn't something hard for me to struggle with when I first came into this church. There were other things. But this point of truth, I loved it, brothers and sisters. I loved it so much that I get asked to speak on this point more than any other point. And it's very hard not to get into specific details. I was telling my brother Gomez about that. Because you always want to jump right into the sanctuary, and we're just giving the introduction today. But when you begin to open that door, you know, we talk about houses that are here on this earth that are built. We talk about mansions. And me and my daughter, one of the things we like to do is we like to go house looking. Anybody else like doing that? My daughter, she likes to see, she likes the design of houses. And every time there's a new balloon, Brianna's like, Dad, look, there's new houses over there. And so me and her, we like to go in them. And Lord have mercy, she loves stairs. It's good to be young. She loves stairs. I love them still. And you know, we go in those houses and we look at the marble countertops, and my daughter goes in there and she's like, oh, this wouldn't be my room. And she starts talking about the house that she's there in. And we do that from house to house that we go to. But you know what I love even more than that? Is that same concept I apply to God. God, let me get into your house today. What's over there on the north side? Ah. What's on the west side? Oh. And I sometimes like to imagine that Jesus is my tour guide. Amen. And you know where the both of us ultimately end up? In his room. Because there's mercy in that room. His law is in that room. And he says, Joseph, let me show you something. I say, what is it, Lord? And when you go into that room, do you know the first thing you see? I'm waiting for your answer. Lord, have mercy. You know the first thing you should see? Is it possible to even lose sight of Jesus when you're walking through that place? You should always see Jesus. That's one thing I want you to never forget, because as we go further into this study, what you need to understand is even as we're walking through the sanctuary and we're dealing with the different articles from the lampstand, to the outer court, to the Ark of the Covenant, to the table of showbread, if you lose track of Jesus, guess what? You will be lost even in the sanctuary. Why? Because that's God's house. And only he knows what those rooms are for. And the only way you can enter into those rooms is because of Jesus. Every room speaks
of Jesus. Every article, Jesus. The veil, the blood, Jesus.
Tonight, I wanted to open the doors to my Father's house and invite you in. We don't have to stand outside. Because of what Christ did, Lord have mercy, we can go in. Our last verse for this evening. Let's go to Isaiah 56. Starting in verse 4. Isaiah 56, starting in verse 4. This is a verse that we normally hear Jesus say, and we normally read it in red letter. But I want to read it from when it was first spoken so that you can understand in a broader sense. Isaiah 56, starting in verse 4. Are we there? Amen. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and with my walls a place and a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord shall serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer for all people." I thought this was a fitting introduction or ending to the introduction of our week of prayer. God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Did you know that prayer takes faith? And we behold Christ by faith. And my prayer for us this evening is that we would not just behold Jesus' sanctuary from afar, but that we would accept the invitation and come on in. God bless.
Please join us in standing as we sing our closing hymn in your hymnal 633, When We All Get to Heaven. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that day. 633 in your hymnal, the first and last verse.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we're to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Don't worry, family, it's going to get real deep. Just keep coming. Again, we want to invite everyone for a brief snack, refreshments before we go into prayer.
And again, I pray you enjoyed what you heard. And I pray that you would be anticipating the coming weeks. There won't be SAS next week, brother, am I right? Okay, Brother Gomez is going to take it. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this time. Keep us and be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, my friends. Please take a seat real quick, please. Yeah, just a couple of announcements. Somebody, if somebody's losing this, it's yours. I have it. Also, as far as SAS, next week there's no SAS because of convocation. The weekend after that, we will have a meeting with Danny Vera from 2 to 5. And then after that, no SCS because we have the orientation for the Amen Clinic. Okay, so then in 3 weeks' time, we will resume. No, can't do it. He can't. We don't know yet, but be in mind, because hopefully we have a SCS again 3 weeks' time, hopefully with a very good guest speaker. But for sure, next Sabbath, convocation, so no SCS. Then the last Sabbath of January, please be here, all day with Danny Vera. Okay, you don't want to miss that. But no SAS because of the Amen Clinic orientation. And then the first Sabbath of February, hopefully there'll be SAS. We'll let you know. But the Sanctuary Series will resume February 12th, I think this is Sabbath. Okay, second Sabbath of February. And I'm last from now, the third Sabbath of February for SCS, we're going to have a very, very special presentation. We have a guest speaker. It's going to be a very powerful testimony. You do not want to miss that, so mark it on your calendars as well. So don't go anywhere. We got some good stuff coming. And as Brother Figure said, introduction is going to get deeper in the sanctuary, so do not go anywhere. Amen? So please, again, we have some refreshments for you in the fellowship hall. And at 7 o'clock, prompt 7 o'clock, we begin our prayer time together. So you are dismissed. God bless. We'll see you in about half an hour.